second to get situated here. You can open in your Bibles to Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4, as we're reading the Bible together as a fellowship. So if you'd please stand, and we will read His Word together. Judges chapter 4. Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. And the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth-Hoyagim. And the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel at that time, and she used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. And I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and with his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand." Then Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up with him. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated himself from the Kenites, from the sons of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far as the oak in Zananim, which is near Kadesh. Then they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera called together all his chariots, 900 iron chariots, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth-Hoyagim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, "Arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you." So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak, and Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth-Hoyagim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not even one was left. Now Sisera fled away on foot to the Mount of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my master, turn aside to me. Do not be afraid." And he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink. Then she covered him. And he said to her, stand in the doorway of the tent, and it shall be if anyone comes and inquires of you and says, is there anyone here, that you shall say no. But Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and seized a hammer in her hand and went secretly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went through into the ground, for he was sound asleep and exhausted. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking. And he entered with her, and behold, Sisera was lying dead with the tent peg in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the sons of Israel, and the hands of the sons of Israel pressed heavier and heavier upon Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Thus reads the word of God. And you may be seated. Judges 4:14. And Deborah said to Barak, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. In this morning's reading, we have the account of how the Lord showed Deborah that Jehovah would deliver his people from the oppression of Jabin, the king of Canaan. This follows very closely upon the course of our study last week in terms of the Lord using the means of even the enemies of God in order to effect his perfect and his good work in us. I refer to the beginning of our reading, Judges 4:1-3. Judges 4:1-3. Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. And the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Haroseth-Hoyagim. And the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. After the death of Ehud, the children of Israel again turned back to their wicked ways. So for 20 years, the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin. This was the length of time that it took for the people to call out to God in humility and abject desperation for his salvation. That was the necessary course of the work of the Lord through the chosen instrument of the oppression of Jabin. This is what was required to cause the Israelites to forsake their wickedness in frustration and in desperation and return to the Lord with all their hearts. It was at this point that the Lord showed Deborah that it was time for Jehovah to release his humbled and repentant people from their oppression under Jabin. He would do so in the manner which would show forth his hand of sovereignty over all his dealings with his chosen nation. Therefore, Deborah impelled Barak and his warriors to arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. There are two aspects of this which we need to take to heart. The first is that the call was to arise. There's an inherent feature in this call from the Lord. It is much more than just getting up off the ground or out of bed or out of our easy chairs. To arise is to stand up and to observe the course of what the Lord would have us do. It is to see how He shows us to follow the course that He has set within our hearts. This is not necessarily the path of the movement of our feet, but the path of the movement of the Holy Spirit within us. To arise in this sense is to see what the Lord would have done within our hearts and our minds and our souls, and to obey Him unconditionally. For the Lord to go out before us, which is the second aspect of our consideration, we have to be cleansed from even the stain of guilt and shame and sin and trespass. He will not go before us if we are holding on to anything that would betray His holiness. When the call is to arise, we need to consider that we are called by the Lord to be His instruments of righteousness, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the glory of His name. We are to be His holy people, called by His name, cleansed by all the work of the Holy Spirit through the triumphant power of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is on that basis that we arise and go forth into whatever battle for the sake of the testimony of God and God alone. Consider how the second generation of the children of Israel was so instructed by Moses in Deuteronomy 9:1-5. He made it abundantly clear to them that whatever the course of their conquest, it was only because it was the Lord going before them. He would manifest His holy judgment upon those nations who had so vilely profaned and violated anything close to what humanity had been created to be. Deuteronomy 9:1-5. Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, great cities fortified to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them, and He will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When the time came for them to proceed, Joshua set before them the same charge as Deborah set before Barak, We see the call to arise and go forth in the consecrated holiness unto the Lord. This is recorded in Joshua 7:13. The people were to look within themselves and within their encampment and tents as to those things that had no place before the holiness of the Lord. As He was going before them, they needed to be certain to cleanse themselves from anything that was anathema unto God. If not, they would soon realize complete defeat, because the Lord will not countenance anything that would sully His holiness. Joshua 7:13. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. As the people of God, we need to arise and to consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. We need to arise to the call of God and willingly search our hearts and our minds and our homes for anything which is under the ban of God's holiness. We need to beseech the Holy Spirit to remove any vile thing, even in our secret places of safekeeping, those protected areas to which we retreat when everything is hounding and haranguing us. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to clean out all the stuff that is under His ban that would cause us to hinder the movement of the Lord within our lives. We need to arise to the challenge of our heart's focal points. Are we set, completely and fully set on the Lord? Or are we set on us, bemired with self-justification and self-aggrandizement and self-centered attitudes of being as God, much like the whisper of that serpent so long ago in the garden? We cannot go forward. We cannot go forward with the Lord if we do not arise and consecrate ourselves before Him. We need the knowledge of His presence going before us and guiding us and protecting us and giving us the victory over all those forces which would otherwise distract and derail us from our spiritual growth into men and women of God. That is His expressed desire for us as His people. This necessitates the complete and thorough removal of anything that would cause us to prevent our eyes and our hearts from seeking the manifest and absolute approval of the Lord within us. When we know that we are following the direction and the guidance of the Lord, when our hearts are singly set on pleasing Him and honoring Him and obeying His every word, we will experience in our lives the immediately known presence of God going before us into all that each day entails. We will not be finding ourselves flustered and frustrated and defeated at the end of the day. There will be that complete sense of peace in the knowledge that the Lord has victoriously proven Himself as each day unfolds. We will have that absolute confidence that He will do today what He has always done and will forever do. He is always faithful. He is always just. He is always righteous in being our triumphant Lord God Almighty. We know at all times that victory which was seen by Deborah over Sisera and Jabin. This was miraculously in evidence much earlier in the conquest of the Promised Land, as detailed in Joshua 10, 8 through 14. Joshua 10, 8 through 14. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal. And the Lord confounded them before Israel, and He slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and pursued them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon, and struck them as far as Azekah and Makeda. And it came about, as they fled from before Israel, while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Shazar? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Another account of what happens when the Lord goes before us into the battle was seen by Gideon, as the Lord had him winnow down the forces of Israel from 32,000 to 300 men to fight the vast army of the Midianites. This was so that the Lord would show it was not the might of men which would bring deliverance, but the arm of Adonai. That is what is needed in each of our hearts and our minds. We need to be brought to the place where we know and we see the hand of God in action in the every deliverance as each day unfolds. There is nothing too large for the Lord. And there is nothing too small for Him to do for those who are attuned to Him and who follow Him through every storm and gale and maelstrom. Judges 7, 7 through 9. And the Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped, and will give the Midianites into your hands. So let all the other people go, each man to his home. So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands. And Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. This truth of the Lord going before us requires that we want him to be our victory, and that we obey him when he tells us what needs to be done. It means that we arise to see the hand of God in action. Often, we may find that we do not understand the full implications of that which the Lord puts before us to do. But do we trust him enough to obey without any objection? Have we been under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit long enough to realize that we do not have to know it all? We simply arise in trust and obey him who holds the entire expanding universe together merely by the word that he speaks. David learned to listen to and to obey the Lord, as was evidenced in 2 Samuel 5:22 through 25. And this is but one example. 2 Samuel 5:22 through 25. Now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, You shall not go directly up. Circle around behind them and come at them in the front of the balsam trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly. For then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. Then David did so, just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. It was after a long life of learning how to listen to the Lord that David could instruct those who followed him about the importance of setting the Lord first in every decision and in every desire of the heart. He was not perfect at it, as no man except Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, is. David, however, did learn what was important in life as he saw the victorious hand of God going before his people as the years rolled by. Consider what David instructed the leaders of Israel in 1 Chronicles 22:18-19. He had come to know what is the incomprehensible value of the Lord in the lives of those who are his people. Therefore, the Lord deserves only the finest of the praise and the adoration and the worship and the consideration of those who belong to him and for whom he is the eternal victor. 1 Chronicles 22:18-19. Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that you may bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. This surpassing treasure of being the Lord's people and his going before those whom he has redeemed unto himself was proclaimed throughout the Psalms. As but one example, consider Psalm 68, 7 through 12. Psalm 68, 7 through 12. O God, when thou didst go forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth quaked, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou didst shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. Thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was parched. Thy creatures settled in it. Thou didst provide in thy goodness for the poor, O God. The Lord gives a command. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home will divide the spoil. The prophet Isaiah weighs in on the truth that it is the Lord who makes all the difference in those whose hearts are taught to arise and to worship and to adore the sovereign Lord God Almighty. We learn that the Lord faithfully and victoriously proves himself over and over and over again, from the vast recesses of the eternal ages through to the end of what we call time. He is faithful, and he is true, and he is just, and he is holy, and he is triumphant over any force that might try to stand against him. Isaiah 52, 9 through 15. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean. Go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not go out in haste, nor will you go as fugitives. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him, for what had not been told them they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. The call to arise, as we had from Deborah to Barak, is emphasized to us through the prophet Micah. We need to listen to and to respond to the clarion trumpet which calls us to attention in the ranks of the Lord's people. We need to arise to the consecration which is ours in Jesus and follow Him in complete surrender to the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. Too much of the dust and the filth of this age clings to our robes. We need to be made purely spotless through the ministry and the sanctity of the Lord God Almighty in our lives. Micah 2:10 through 13. Arise and go, for this is no place of rest because of the uncleanness that brings on destruction, a painful destruction. If a man walking after wind and falsehood had told lies and said, I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor, he would be spokesman to this people. I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. They will be noisy with men. The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord at their head. We have this encouragement spoken directly to each one of our hearts by our Lord Jesus Christ in John 16:33. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. We do not fear the world because He goes before us in the triumphant and victorious glory of His resurrection. Accordingly, as we draw to a conclusion this morning, we need to check and recheck our heart with respect to our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we want to have His peace in the midst of this chaotic and boiling turmoil of human anger and frustration and depression and animosity and hopelessness, we need to make absolutely certain that we arise to His call of consecration and dedication. We need to set our hearts and our minds and our lives in the simple purpose to know Him and the power of His resurrection life coursing through us. We need to arise, rise up, and be counted as belonging to Him who goes before us into every battle and utterly surrounds us in the protection of His victory. As John reinforces for us in 1 John 5:1-5, we need to know who Jesus is. We need to want to live for Him because He died and rose again for us. We need to examine the lives that we are living and have the Holy Spirit cut away all the entanglements of this age which could or would distract us from being wholeheartedly going forward with our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:1-5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So be it. And Deborah said to Barak, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. Amen.